welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
We thank God for this opportunity to be before you, church family. I thank God for my natural family. I thank God for my church family. I thank you for your encouragement over these last 3 years. Thank you for your encouragement prayers for my family as we graduated together. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for your cards. Thank you for your well wishes. It's time to preach. Meet me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We thank you for your Holy Ghost. Move as you will, Lord. Have your way. Verse 1. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the move of your spirit. No other spirits are welcome in this place. It's been consecrated and set aside for your glory. You alone, no man, woman, boy, or girl deserves any praise, but to you all things, oh God. From you all things, oh God. And we give all things back to you, including this time of preaching. Move by your power. Do what you said that you would do and do what we didn't know that you could do. We give you permission, oh God. We give you our lives. We sit attentively and listen for what you have to say to us. Move me so that these your people would see only you and hear only your voice from heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, I'll be reading the story. We thank you for your attention as we read, and so that we can learn together for the edification of this body. Read the story so that we can learn together. I'll be reading from the NIV. Verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord or sir? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And now he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. This is so good. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad they saw me fall. I'm glad they saw me fall. This church is a season of transition. Yeah. And it's the time of year when we think a lot about transitions and changes. You know, May and June, it's a time when there are lots of graduations. Shout out to Rice tomorrow. People moving from one place to another, children and adults finishing up a school year. And we here are in a season of transition, walking a path into a new season here at Redeemer. And there are moments like these when we reflect, we think about the lengthened daylight, you know, when it's still sunny outside and it's 7:30, amen. And we think about this season and the possibilities for the summer months. And patriotic commercials are on TV now around Memorial Day and 4th of July, helping us to think about this season, but not just the season for us as individuals, but also as a nation together. We're in the midst of changing here in America. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking about this lately, but I've been asking God, well, what path am I on? Where is it that my family is going? Where are we headed, church? And brothers and sisters, I bet if we're honest, we're thinking about summer stuff, amusement parks. I saw you getting them tickets at ShopRite. Thinking about the beach. Amen. And cover-ups, hallelujah. Thinking about outdoor concerts at the park. I saw you with that cooler. And at the same time, while we're thinking about all these things in this season, we're thinking about what's next for us. So we're thinking about what's happening right now, but also wondering what God is doing next as we enter into this next season for ourselves and for our families and for our communities and for our church and for our nation. Pay attention, believer. Where is the Lord calling your attention next? What is it that God wants you to experience next? And what might God want you to witness or to see next? Ecclesiastes 3, you know it's a familiar passage, tells us that in God's world, everything has a season. Yeah, you remember, everything has a season. It says things in Ecclesiastes like everything has a season to be born, or everything has a season to die. There's a time for everything, a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time in God's world for things to be broken down, and there's a time for things to be built up. There's a time to seek or to look for something, and there's a time to lose, to let something go. Everything, church, has a season. Everything has a time. Now, when we hear that, if I'm honest and if you're honest, sometimes hearing about those seasons makes us nervous, if we're honest. If when we hear about things like that there's a season to be born and a season to die, we're okay with the season to build up, but when we hear that there may be a season for something to be torn down, we can become anxious and wonder, God, well, which season are we going into next? What season might we be going into? But please remember that with God, God is in the midst of all of your seasons. That's the assurance that we have, believers, that in the building up and in the tearing down, in the comforting and in the grieving, God is there in all of our seasons. And every seed that is sown into the ground that is broken is so that something new can come forward. Everything has a season, church, sister. Everything has a season, brother. Everything has a season. And living things experience these times, these changes. And so if something is not going through a new season, if it's not being torn down and built up, then maybe there's no life in it. And right here, church, right here is where we find our reading from today. This is where we find our brother, the Apostle Paul. Paul, but preacher, you said Saul, you didn't say Paul, okay. So Saul was his Hebrew name. That was the name given to him at birth by his people. And writing to the Greeks and talking to the Greeks, his name was Paul. You know, I'm Minister D here, but you know, at home, okay. So y'all thought y'all was gonna get that one. No thanks. Sneak of note. So So, and then some would argue that his name was changed by the Lord from Saul to Paul in his transition, but you can see what we read today, that his name, when the Lord is calling and doing a new thing and a new season in his life, his name is still Saul. And so we'll say both Saul. But this is where he is in his life, in the midst of something new. And this is the same Paul that, you know, Rice students, you've been studying about, the one who would eventually dedicate his life to the ministry of Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel throughout the world, the one to whom much of the New Testament has been set aside is him writing it, but that season had not yet come for him. Same person, but not yet. Saul, the one we're reading about, he was a faithful Jew, some things to know. He was trained in the law. And he was passionate about scripture, Torah. He was passionate about the practices of his Jewish faith. He was an educated Pharisee. And in Acts 22:3, it says that he was educated strictly according to the ancestral law. He was a zealous or a passionate man for God. Yeah, he was. He was faithful Roman citizen. He was the Jew among Jews. If anybody needed to call on somebody to translate or to give a testimony about the law and the teachings, you could call Saul because he knew. He knew from front to back, from Genesis to Revelation, but you know. And yet he was an enemy of the church. And he was an enemy, that's harsh words, preacher. He was an enemy of the gospel message of Jesus. And he persecuted, scripture says, Christians with great passion. That same passion that he had for his religion. And he even says of himself in Acts 26, I tried, speaking of the Christians, to force them to blaspheme. And since I was so furiously enraged at them, I pursued them even to foreign cities. I hunted them down. But he wasn't the only one. He wasn't alone in his commitment to maintain his faith. Nope, he wasn't the only one. So let's not be so just hard on Saul. And he wasn't the only one who worked to shut down this growing and spreading group of people following Jesus. And it's here, this story that Luke writes in Acts, that narrates this journey of the early church, this season of their lives. We learn about this new season for the growing body of Christ. After the Holy Spirit had empowered them, you know Acts, the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Pentecost, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus and to spread the gospel to the Gentiles and to take the word from here and there to the Jews. And in the midst of doing what they were empowered to do, church, they faced violent opposition. In the midst of doing what they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do, they were persecuted. Does it make sense? Even after Jesus had been crucified, you already killed our Jesus. Why are you? These Christians, they were not a popular group sitting in comfortable pews on Sunday. They were hunted like animals. They suffered economic and social discrimination and physical abuse. You ready to be abused for the cause of Christ? How is it possible that the Lord was with them, with his growing church? It doesn't look like we're growing. How could they be in a season of growth, Redeemer? And how is it that the message is being multiplied and yet they face these hardships? Even the Christian church talking about seasons had to be birthed, and it was born in turmoil. The Christian church was birthed out of a crucifixion, a murder, and it was born into the uncertainty of what would be next for them. Saul's right here in the middle of it. And he was among those who persecuted, and he sought authority, scripture says, from the high priest. That means he went to go ask permission from the head of the synagogue, the religious leaders. He made an appointment to talk to Caiaphas and said, I need permission so that you can send me with an official letter from the congregation, from this gathering of Jewish believers, people who followed, who were sons and daughters of Abraham, you know, those who claim Yahweh as their God. He went to the official, to the head priest, and asked for permission so that he could have a letter and to authorize him to go and drag people. And so he asked for permission to go to Damascus. Damascus was about 150 miles away from Jerusalem, and it had a large Jewish population. And, of course, there would have been a little group of Christians who would have been hiding amongst them. And he got permission, and the Bible says that while traveling along the road with his companions, he wasn't by himself. He went to go get permission because he was Saul, trained in the law and respected. But he wasn't alone as they hunted these women and men down. And they were traveling along the road, the Bible says, what we just read, on their way to Damascus. And it says that Saul was confronted by the glory of Jesus. He was headed to the city with permission to search the synagogues for those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was on a mission, church. He and those who traveled with him to arrest Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem for trial. You know Jerusalem, the holy city? You know Jerusalem, the seat of faith for the Jews? You know Jerusalem, the place where the temples had been constructed and torn down, and the synagogues where all the holy people were? That holy city, Jerusalem, was now the center of persecution. How could it be that the holy place becomes the place where we drag people in to be persecuted? But he was going along the way, and the Bible says that he was going about saying what he would do, you know, when I find them. You wait till I get my hands on one of them. I'm going to teach them what the Lord says. I'm going to show them how holy we are and how filthy they are. He said that he would murder them. And while on his way, the Bible says that it was about noon, a light stopped him in his tracks, and without any warning, he didn't know, he found himself surrounded by an intensely bright light. And that's because when the light shines in, when the unexpected glory of the Lord comes in, if it hadn't happened to you already, let me explain. What happens is it'll bring you down low. When the light stops you in your tracks, whatever things had been holding you up will be removed. And it's funny because when we've taught this or preached this or read about this or seen paintings of this scene, we've always imagined it in such a way that Saul is riding in on this high horse, you know. And so if you've already said in your mind, well, this message doesn't apply to me, I'm not going to be knocked down because I don't ride horses. The truth is that scripture doesn't say he was coming in on a horse. We don't know if he was on a horse. We don't know if he was riding in on another animal. We don't know if he was walking down the road, but that's not the point. Either way, what we do know, what scripture did say, is that he ended up face down on the ground. And so what that says to us is that none of us are exempt from this process, that we are all susceptible of this kind of flesh-blinding, transformative encounter when God sends a light, is that we'll end up on the ground. So whatever you thought was holding you up, believer, whatever you had as your base, as your foundation keeping you, or at least you thought it was, carrying you through the life, you know, your education, you're on a mission, your last name, because I am a, they know who I am. Whatever you thought was carrying you through life, I go to. That's the church affiliation that my pastor is. That means I get to show up with permission to kill people. Maybe it's the badge that they gave you at church. And I don't know. Whatever it's been, God has a way. Anybody know that God has a way? No matter who you are, Saul, God has a way. God has a way. Anything that wants to shine brighter than the glory of the Lord, it'll be extinguished. It'll be put out. And anything that you thought was carrying you from one season into the next, from one place as you were on a destination that you had carved out for yourself based on who you thought you were and who you thought they were and who you thought they needed to be, when the light shines in. And there was a light, a bright light from glory, but the Bible says that he also heard a voice speaking to him. Jesus was not playing with him on that day. Some of us need a light and a voice. And the Bible that we just read says it was the voice of Jesus, and this was a revelation straight from heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you're concerned enough about us. And out of respect for the authority, you know, trying to figure out who it is, but he had good home training at least. Saul said, yes, Lord, or in our modern terms, yes, sir. And he listened. That's what we can do. Listened. He listened to the voice. He was blinded. He couldn't see. His ability to guide himself had been severed. He could no longer do what he was planning to do. But he still had a choice, church. He didn't have to listen. He was unable to proceed with business as usual. The light had come and the voice was speaking. Saul heard the voice, and this is what he learned about himself. He learned that his zeal, his passion, his energy for the cause of God, you know, that's what he thought that he was really doing, is helping God. When the voice spoke, he learned that his passion had in fact turned into an attack against God. And that by persecuting Christians, those who were not like him, those who didn't know King James, those who didn't come to Bible study, those who had no affiliation with any, but by persecuting these other people who were different, he was actually persecuting Jesus. And so we ought not judge Paul too harshly, church. But maybe let's just for a moment, and then I'll back away because I can feel your eyes. Let's just think for a moment maybe how maybe just once or twice we've taken the law and the word, that which was sent to help all people, and we used it to persecute others. Did we hurt them with that? Did we hurt ourselves along the way? When the light comes, it causes us to fall down before the presence of God. And the Lord reveals some things. You know what? When the light shines in, it shows the dark places, and it goes into the places that we would not know were there, or we know were there, but we want to cover up with church words. But when the light comes, it causes us to see our passion and our zealousness and our churchness and our Christian behavior that's not really anything like Christ, and it causes us to see that in some ways and in some times, maybe God will forgive us of this if you confess it, maybe that we've been improper and even harmful to God's people. Yeah, this is a hard word, Lord, and this was a difficult experience for Saul, because remember, he had been trained in the law. He was a Jew among Jews. He had all his papers. And so it was tough stuff, but it was necessary, church. It was necessary that the Lord do this, because then he could use Saul in a powerful way. It's necessary, Redeemer. It's necessary for the light to come in and shine and show so that we have the opportunity to be obedient and respond, yes, Lord, your servants, speak, Lord, your servants are listening, so that God can use us in a more powerful way, and so that in years and years to come, like we read about Paul and the work that he did in his ministry, people will say, you know, there was a little church on the corner of 24th and Dickinson that some years ago, they had an experience and they had an opportunity, and they said, yes, Lord, and they allowed the Lord to do what only the Spirit can do, and because of it, to this very day, we can see the fruit continues down through the generation, and our children and our children's children and our children's children will be telling the story. Yeah, so what'll be our response, though? How will we handle being brought low? Will we be offended or obedient? Scripture indicates that Saul followed the instructions and he lifted his face out of that dusty ground. And it says that the Lord set Saul on a different course, just like that. He went into the city and he preached a new message in Damascus and then on to Jerusalem. And word began to spread that this great persecutor, you know, if Saul was going to do anything, he was going to do it right. And so with the same esteem and with the same passion that he persecuted the Christians, now he was a believer and a preacher and a teacher. Whether you know him as Saul or Paul, or whether you know me as D or Minister Richardson, when this kind of thing happens and then there was those who witness it, they'll be in awe. They won't even be able to understand when your course is rerouted. You know, Siri didn't do that. And Google Maps didn't say redirect, but it was the Holy Spirit and it was the light and the voice. But here's where it got really good. Saul wasn't there alone. You remember when we read that he was accompanied by companions who were going along with him? They had his back. They were ready to persecute and help drag some Christians back to Jerusalem just like he was. Yeah. But tell your neighbor, I'm glad they saw me fall. I'm glad they saw me fall. What is it that causes us to have a reboot in life or to be redirected? Again, for some of us, nothing short of a light from heaven and the voice of Jesus. Some of us have to be disoriented. You know, we were clear about where we were going, and next thing you know, our feet were wiped out from underneath of us. That unpredicted, unexplainable encounter that was so jarring to us that we were unable to see where we were going. This ain't just for preachers, y'all. Some of us fell flat on our face. Some of us fell flat on our backs. Some of us fell on that most prideful part that bore the impact. And it all happened in front of those closest to us. One season to the next. His companions, they were witnesses to something unusual. Now, depending on what you read, in one part in Acts, Paul says that his companions didn't hear the voice. In another part of Acts, it says that they did hear the voice. Either way, Saul fell down. In a later account of Acts, Paul said, we had all fallen to the ground. So what's going on, Paul? But it's like Paul saying, you know what? I don't really know what happened. All I know, church, is that one minute I was on my way. I had a 5-year plan. I was going down there. I was going over there to tell them who I was and who I thought they were not. I was on my way to call them. I was on my way to tell them. I was on my way. I was getting online. I was logging in at that very moment. But I was going to do the right thing. And then I was going to tell them what they ought to do. And next thing I know, I was down on the ground. You know what? They were with me. Maybe they saw the light. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they heard a voice. Maybe they didn't. But I do know what they did see. They saw me go down like a ton of bricks. And they saw me talking to some unseen person. They, my companions, my road buddies, they were witnesses. And if you don't believe me, they could testify. Whether they saw some light, a lot of light, heard a little bit of voice, no voice, I don't know what they saw or heard, but they were witnesses to my fall, and I'm glad now. I'm glad that they were there, and I'm glad they saw me fall. I think Saul was the HPIC on that trip. I do. He was the head persecutor in charge. Shot calling. He was leading the charge into Damascus, and they were following him. You go, Paul. You doing that? They saw him elevated, whether he was on an animal or walking. He, in some way, they saw him in charge. And after this happened, he couldn't see, and he couldn't tell them where to go, and he couldn't get where he thought he was going. And so what happened was, as they had to lead him by the hand into town, into the next season of his life. I'm glad they saw me fall. And in the midst of the echoes of, but that's Saul. You know, the I knew you when. But we had just stopped at the rest stop. We were still, and then all of a sudden plans have changed. But I'm glad they saw me fall. These travel companions were witnesses to something beautiful and amazing, this metamorphosis, this change of season for Saul. And it says Saul entered into prayer and fasting. He encountered God, and God sent him an answer. Could it be that easy, church? This Damascus Road experience, Saul's experience, is a little bit like some of our experiences. It was unexpected. Anybody have an unexpected encounter with God? Yeah, we're not clapping because the truth is we don't like that. The truth is I don't like that. I'm not always comfortable with season changes, especially if the one that I'm leaving looks more exciting and pleasing and comfortable and familiar than the one that I think God is leading me into. I know how to persecute. I got that down. But now you want me to go and preach, but I can't get the seminary between this road and Damascus. God didn't say that. God said go. And I'm uncomfortable with changes, especially when they're unexpected. And seasons sometimes change like that. You know how this weather's been here in Philadelphia? I think we went from winter to straight to summer sometimes, and sometimes we go back. It didn't go down like I thought it was. It didn't go down like I prefer it to. Church, we may not go from here to there like we think that it might be. The season change might be unexpected for us. And it causes us sometimes to feel discomfort. That's okay. It was unexpected, this Damascus Road experience, and it was out of human control. But because it was out of human control, let's take our hands off of it. It was divinely empowered and orchestrated. God can use us, and at the same time, we can release it to him, these season changes, so that he can do and give us an encounter that will allow him to come in and navigate the course. And this Damascus Road experience, it created a vocational setback for Saul. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? I mean, it messed up his goals. Hashtag messed up goals. I'm not saying he had a parking ticket quota that he was trying to meet, or like, you know, by the end of the month, I'm going to persecute 30 Christians and drag them back. I'm not saying it was that detailed, but he did have a clear understanding for him what it was that he was put on this earth to do. He saw his life in this trajectory. He had been trained. He had been studied. He had gone every week to synagogue to study. He had prepared himself, and he thought that he was going along doing what God called him to do. And all that got messed up. He was reassigned. But the funny thing about this reassignment from God is that he wasn't rerouted. God didn't say, okay, you know what, down on the ground, I have something new for you, now go to Jerusalem. God still sent him to Damascus. Isn't that amazing how sovereign God works? when you think my life is going to be completely wrecked by the experience of the light and the voice, and that in this new season I'm not going to be able to know anybody I know, I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody I know, Jesus is just going to take everything away from me because he's a mean Jesus, and I know he wants to use me, but I need my people, Lord. But the Lord still sent him, because God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So don't be anxious about how this season shifts for you, about what you'll lose. God is in control of all of that. So he was reassigned, but not rerouted. He was sent to the same place, but now he had a new and a holy agenda. It created a challenge for Saul. That's what this experience did, because he was clear what it meant to be a good follower of Yahweh. He thought he was pretty certain he could teach you what it meant to be a faithful member of the faith, of the religion. But this experience said, Saul, I'm not so sure. Perhaps there are things about God that you don't know. Perhaps there are experiences that you haven't had. Don't be so comfortable, church, in our faith that we think that we have attained to knowing the God who is fully unknowable. Allow him to still knock you down so that he can shine the light and give you new instructions for what's next in your new season. And all of it went down in front of Lottie Dottie and everybody. They all had to bear witness to it, but I'm glad they saw me fall. Those who I grew up with, you know, my boys, it hurt and it was embarrassing, but I'm glad they saw me fall. And my sister friends who knew my whole story, the ones who thought I had it all together, I'm so glad they saw me fall. My friends, my allies, I'm glad they saw me fall. My companions, I'm glad they saw me fall. My accomplices, because that's what they were. I'm glad they saw me. You know, the people who go down there with you and won't nobody know about it. I'm glad they saw you fall. My colleagues, I'm glad they saw my associates who thought that all those letters meant that I knew all that I needed to know. I'm glad they saw me fall. My buddies and my homies, they saw me fall. It was public. My frat and my sorors, they saw me go down. The letters couldn't help me. My ace Boone and my amigas and my amigos, all of them, they saw me. They flat down in the dirt. I couldn't even get up in time. My cuz, she saw me fall. My partners, they saw me fall. But I'm glad they saw me fall. And it's funny, because in this world in which we live, so many people are trying to cover up that fall experience. You don't even have to Google it. You don't even have to watch the news. You don't even have to look on social media for more than a few minutes. And you see celebrities and public figures and religious leaders who are experiencing a very public and painful transformation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't have to call the names, but can't you imagine the headlines if this had been in the papers, that Saul, mighty persecutor of the Christians, Saul, he who could name how many he had brought back to justice in Jerusalem, Saul, the one who had been trained from birth to be a Pharisee among Pharisees, Saul, the one who we look up to, we followed him from one city to the next, Saul. And his story might be described, if we were reading it today, as one who fell from grace. You know, the headlines, fallen from grace. Well, the truth is, church, and here's your shout, and we can go home. The truth is that if we listen to what the Lord is saying in this story, if we listen about how he takes us through the seasons from one to the next, Saul didn't fall from grace. Saul fell by grace. Yeah. Thank God for the fall, and I'm so glad you saw me when I hit the ground. Saul didn't fall from grace, but when you're on the other side of through, and when you're on the other side of knowing what the Lord has done for you in front of everybody, you know that it was grace that knocked you down off that high horse. You know that you didn't just fall because of grace, but you fell into grace. Hallelujah. His companions, they saw him fall, and I'm glad they saw me fall. But Jesus was there too, and he saw me fall. And it was by grace that Saul fell into this new season of his life. Is anybody ready to fall publicly? Are you really ready for the light to come in to stop you in your tracks. And Lord, we want you to intervene in our going. If we're going somewhere, Lord, that we ought not to go, to do something that we ought not to do as a family, as a church body, as believers, if we're on the road, Lord God, and we're bringing people with us, do it, Jesus. And it was because of grace, God's unmerited love, the love that we don't deserve. It was that grace that wobbled his knees and caused him finally to fall. All those times he thought he had been kneeling in prayer, it caused him to finally fall down in spirit and in truth and into the presence of the one he had been persecuting. I'm so glad Jesus is not like us, because we would have gotten rid of Saul with the light. We would have consumed him with the voice. We would have sent him into utter darkness. But our Jesus is not like that, because Saul wasn't the only one on his way to do something he had no business doing. Saul wasn't the only way, if you're honest, church, that it was headed to go somewhere he had no business going. But Jesus intervened for you, and he rescued you too. And he rescued me too, even though we persecuted him in the old seasons of our life. And rather than dragging Saul into the streets and stoning him like he had done to Stephen, and rather than pulling him out of the house and dragging him back to Jerusalem, Jesus didn't do that to him, and he didn't do it to you. Instead, church, he gave you a new assignment. He said, yes, I allowed you to fall, and now get up. Wipe your face. Go into the city and tell them. And if you forget the story and if you can't remember what happened, I'm so glad they saw me fall, because now they can tell the story, and my sons and my daughters can tell the story about how the Lord, how they saw, knocked me off my everything that I thought was holding me up and walking me through this life, and how the Lord caused me to get up and gave me a new assignment and sent somebody to lay their hands on me when I couldn't bless myself because I didn't have the words. And they came and found me where I was and laid their hands on me, and immediately I was baptized. I didn't have to, and they allowed me to be a part of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they too became witnesses. And that story spread, not just Saul the persecutor, but now Saul the preacher. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad they saw you fall? Aren't you glad they didn't just see you go down? But I'm glad, so glad, that they got to witness me get back up again. Hallelujah. 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 So glad they saw me fall. Rest on your feet as we give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh, God, we thank you that even through the difficult transitions of this life, even as you have us thinking about this season and the next, we won't be anxious, oh God. We won't be afraid. Do whatever you need to do to get our attention, oh God. Help us to say yes, Lord, to you. Speak. Help us to be obedient, to go where you're sending us next. We trust you, Lord God. We pray that this word, that you would help us to hide it deep down in our hearts. We pray and we thank you, oh God, that you spoke to each one of us in a unique way. Thank you for the power of your word. It heals. It shines its light. It speaks with the power and authority of heaven. We thank you, Lord God, that living things experience change. Keep changing us, God. We are thine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we rest on our feet, celebrate the Lord for an awesome, awesome, awesome word. The deacons are coming. We celebrate the God who makes all things new. This is a wonderful part of our worship, where we continue to be under the anointing of the word. This is the time when we pause to look, to give opportunity to give space, the holy space, for those who need to come, to put it all in his hands, really, this and that. And so our first invitation is not an invitation from us, but it's an invitation straight from the voice of God. If you don't know this Jesus, the one who died for you even as we did not know him, if you need to give your life to Jesus, and if you haven't done so before, you do. This gives you access to glory. This gives you access to the power of the Holy Spirit. This gives you access to eternal life. So we invite you to come. Is there one today who needs to give their life to Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. Would you come? Come even now. Come even now. Saints are praying for you because we've all had to come this way. We've all had to say, I need Jesus, even when I don't know how. I know that Jesus died for me. So know that now. He did die for you. He loves you, even right now. Why don't you come? Come on and give your life. Come on and give your life to Jesus. He'll make all things new in your life, even right now, in an instant. Just like this Damascus Road experience, he can change your life in a moment. Is there one? Is there one? Come on. Come on. We're praying for you.